Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence, and you're going to get smarter because Steve Forbes is in the building, ladies and gentlemen. We're glad to have Steve back. Steve has been a member of our Brain Trust for a long time. We value his time and his wisdom very much. He's editor-in-chief, as you know, of Forbes Magazine. He's the president of Forbes, president and CEO of Forbes. He's also the author of Flat Tax Revolution, former president, once upon a time, a presidential candidate for our nation's top job, and I'm one of the folks, ladies and gentlemen, who wishes Steve had won that election, that nomination, and the election. I said this before. I'd like to live in an America with a president, Steve Forbes, and he's our good friend. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Jim, thank you. Good to be with you again.
It's good to have you back, as always. Let's get right into the news, Steve, and talk about something that happened this week, actually yesterday, I guess, and that is the war funding bill that the president and the Democrats have been fighting over. And I guess I shouldn't say just the Democrats. There have been plenty of Republicans who have been fighting with the president over this. Tell us a little bit about what this bill has been all about and what the resolution was yesterday.
Well, the Democrats thought that this would be a bill in which they could win popular support. I think they misunderstood the election. Democrats thought that people wanted us to pull out of Iraq. What the American people were saying, I think, was that they were very unhappy with the way the war was being prosecuted, but they didn't want to pull up stakes. They wanted to see if we could pull something positive out of it. And so they misplayed their hand. The president called them on it when they tried to put timetables, and on that he won. But we're going to have to see if these benchmarks that they put in the bill, what that's going to do, these independent studies, these reports he has to give in the next 12 months or so, and whether so this fight has just begun. They're going to Congress is going to try to do something that it has no business doing, and that is trying to run a war. That's not
right.
How you run a war.
Well, that's exactly right. We don't need 535 generals who can barely do their own job, let alone try to manage a war.
They want to be able to manage it without the responsibility.
Exactly. Steve, speaking of the war, what is your take on the war in Iraq right now?
Well, I think we're finally now doing the strategy that probably should have been put in 3 years ago. Talking to experts, it becomes very clear that if you want to fight an insurgency effectively, you have to secure the safety of the population. And unfortunately, in the past, we would go into a neighborhood, clear it out, then pull out, and the bad guys would come right back in again.
Right.
So now we're doing the gritty work. It's going to take time. One of the things I wish the president could get across to the American people is these insurgencies can take several years to win. They're winnable. We won one in the Philippines over 100 years ago. We lost more men there putting down that insurgency than we have in Iraq, far more. The Brits put one down in Malaya in the 1950s. So these things are winnable, but they take a lot of hard work.
Do you see the direct connection between Iraq and the war on terror, the global war on terror?
I think if we pulled out of Iraq, that would be seen as a huge victory for al-Qaeda and terrorist forces and reinforce their belief that the U.S. and the West have no stomach to fight them and that if they just keep pressing us, they're going to triumph.
Right.
So if we don't do it in Iraq, we're going to have to do it somewhere else. And so now that we're in Iraq, let's do it. And the other big issue that's coming up is, of course, Iran. They are going all out on nuclear weapons, and we're going to have to deal with that probably sooner rather than later.
Well, you know, it turns out, Steve, that maybe we invaded the wrong country. What do you think?
Yes. Yes, well, some comedians had some nasty jokes on that about the spelling of Iran and Iraq in the White House. But Iran is the biggest source, as you know, of terrorist financing in the world. It has been funding these insurgents, not only in Iraq, but elsewhere in the Middle East and around the world. So they're bad guys all around. And they feel that, especially this lunatic president that they have, they feel that time is on their side, that this lunatic feels that Ahmadi's coming back again or some such thing, and he's quite content to see the world blow up.
Well, absolutely.
He's a truly bad guy.
Well, he is. He's a wacko, and he's a wacko who's about to get nuclear weapons, and that's the scary part. And there's going to be a gut check, I think, very soon. There's going to be a gut check across the, not only in America but around the world, on what to do about Iran over the next, I think, very soon, next year or two. And I don't think there's any doubt about that. Stand by. Quick break. We got more to come with Steve Forbes, our good friend, editor-in-chief of Forbes magazine and the author of Flat Tax Revolution. 20 tips. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Baby, I love you. Baby, I need you. All of these things, baby. The Bursary, baby, got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby, got you on my mind.
We're back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Steve Forbes, the CEO of Forbes and the editor-in-chief of Forbes magazine, which is celebrating right now, ladies and gentlemen, 90 years in business. Steve Forbes, happy anniversary, baby.
Thank you very much. We're very pleased by it. As you know, the company was started by my grandfather.
What was his, tell us his name?
Country, and
tell us his name, Steve.
B.C. Forbes.
Yeah.
And he came from Scotland. Had dreams and ambitions here, but he's one of 10 kids, no money, and he made a go of it. And at a time of turbulence, he lived through the Great Depression, which nearly destroyed him. And now we're going through the wind force changes of the internet and all the impact that's having. So we're happy to be here and happy to be thriving. It's
And of course, your father, Malcolm.
You can't stay still in this game, and we're happy that my father was able to continue the business, and my brothers and I hope to do the same with our kids.
Well, it's a family business, and I know you're not necessarily a small business anymore, but it is a family business, and I just want to say, on behalf of my audience and all the folks who enjoy your work and all the stuff that you guys do, we congratulate you on 90 great years.
Fantastic. Thank you. Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to the next 90.
There you go. Steve, one of the things I wanted to get to before we wrap up on the war funding bill, there was one bit of bad news on the war funding bill. It looks like the Congress passed, included in the bill that they sent without all the timelines. They didn't get that, but they did get the minimum wage tax increase, didn't they? I mean, the minimum wage increase.
Well, that's the only way they could do it. And
yeah,
I don't have to tell you what that means in terms of increasing costs for businesses. If we could pass a law and make everyone rich, we'd have done it a long time ago.
Exactly.
And as you know, the real minimum wage is set by the market.
That's
in
right.
Our area of the country, it's probably about a little over $7. You can't hire anyone under that at McDonald's or elsewhere. And that's natural. That's not somebody forcing it by law. That's what market forces are about. And to try to think that you're going to help people by decreeing things like that, sadly, you don't.
What is an example?
People on minimum wage are not the main wage earners. And so it's just a much misunderstood topic.
Well, it is. And the thing that gets me is once again, small business owners got squeezed between Congress and the president. And the compromise was to raise payroll by government fiat, raise payroll by 20%, at least on the minimum wage payroll, and I'm against minimum wage increase. As you said, Steve, I think the market should be the determiner of what that is. I think most small business owners are paying their people more than minimum wage anyway. It's not even necessary, but it does create upward pressure on all wages, doesn't it?
It does indeed. And you look at Europe to see the logical conclusion of that. Europe has very high minimum wages, very tight labor markets, very rigid rules on what you can do and can't do. And guess what? They have twice the unemployment that we do.
Right.
And among young people, it's 2 to 3 times what it is over here.
And lackluster economic growth. And here's the irony.
And one thing on that, you know, they've got a new president in France who I think recognizes some of this stuff. But you know what one of the largest French-speaking cities in the world now is? London. Half a million French have moved to England because England, by European standards, is a much more open country, and that's where the ambitious people go.
And you know what else? There's another story here that's evolving right now. Steve, I'm going to be in Copenhagen in a week after next, speaking to the American Chamber of Commerce over there, and Denmark is becoming more entrepreneurial, and Germans are moving from Germany to Denmark to find their fortune.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and so here's the irony, Steve. You're making my point. The irony is we got Europe trying to get out of these kind of socialistic constructs, and the United States is looking around and saying that, you know, acting like we got a government acting like they want more of that. Now, what's wrong with that picture?
It shows that some people are slow learners. And again, I think it's an example of how the Democrats and much of the main media have no real conception of what it takes to create wealth. I think you can pass laws, pass wands, have good intentions, and good things happen. Well, no, somebody's got to work to make them happen.
Well, and the tax breaks that they salve over their minimum wage increases by passing what they consider to be tax breaks, but the tax breaks aren't even going to be available. They're not going to be used by the people who are going to be hit by the minimum wage increase.
Well, that's right. And again, a lot of these things, it's just best to leave it alone.
Right. Absolutely, Steve. What about the U.S. economy? What do you think? Where do you think we are right now?
Actually, on that, I think that things are going better, or will be going better than anticipated, and that we're in one of these situations where, again, thanks to partially to the media, everyone knows what is going wrong. Everyone knows the economy slowed, that housing has taken a hit, pieces of manufacturing have taken a hit, but the economy as a whole is fairly strong, and I think in the latter part of this year, you're going to see growth rates come in above expectations. This is an amazing thing we have here.
Well, I think so too, and a lot of people are predicting only 2%. My prediction at the beginning of the year was 3%. I'm not sure we're going to make 3, but I think it's going to be better than what some of the dour folks are predicting. Stand by, Steve. When we come back, folks, I'm going to ask Steve a little bit more about the economy. We're going to talk a little bit about protectionism. I want to get Steve's thoughts on some of the protectionism concerns that I have right after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Steve Forbes is our guest. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Steve Forbes. He's editor-in-chief of Forbes magazine, celebrating 90 years. Isn't that that's a great American success story. And again, Steve, congratulations, and give our best wishes to all the great folks there at Forbes.
Thank you very much. Well, as we said before, we hope to do another 90.
Your book, Flat Tax Revolution, is still available. It's How to Use a Postcard to Abolish the IRS. I like that story.
It's still selling on Amazon, and obviously next year is going to be a critical year with the elections. As you know, the Democrats want to raise taxes, and we want to simplify and lower them. And
have we got a chance at that, Steve? I mean, I'm concerned that other issues are taking tax reform off the table, except for the tax raisers part of it.
Yes, well, they always find time to raise taxes, never have time to lower them. And I think this is something that next year, I think people are going to force the political establishment to recognize. People have very different views than what the media would like them to believe, what the liberal politicians in Washington, the Washington politicians would like people to believe. And people know the current code is a monstrosity. They know the rates are too high, too complex. and we'd be a much wealthier, richer, and less corrupt country if we didn't have this tax code.
Absolutely. But, you know, Steve, even with the one we have, with the tax breaks that we have, haven't we had an experiment in the last 4 years that has demonstrated, it demonstrates that supply-side economics works and dynamic scoring works? Why don't they see that?
They don't want to see it. And it's amazing what blinkers you can put on, even if it's staring you right in the face, you just to pretend that it's not there. And you're right. In the last 4 years, Jim, the growth of the American economy, just the expansion alone, exceeds the entire size of the Chinese economy.
Yeah.
We grew China in 4 years.
Mm-hmm. You know, Steve, when I interview small business owners all across this country, and I've done it in other parts of the world, and I ask them this question: if you had a tax break, if you got some of your tax dollars back, what would you do with that money? And Steve, instantaneously, without thinking, 100% of them have said, I would reinvest it in my business. 100%. From Rome to Stockholm to Sheboygan, small business owners have told me that.
Well, people want to expand, and that's what it's all about, people taking risks. This is what politicians don't understand, is that people put it on the line, and if they don't succeed, they pay a price for it. In politics, if you put in a spending bill that doesn't succeed, you just put more money into it.
Right, exactly. You know, speaking of, one of the things I wanted to ask you about quickly, Steve, is Germany and France. We got Merkel now in Germany. We got Sarkozy in France. Are these sea changes in Europe? Are you heartened by that?
I'm heartened by Sarkozy. As you know, in a couple of weeks, they're going to have parliamentary elections in France.
More conservatives, folks. They're more conservative than the predecessors.
And if he wins those, I think he's going to make some major structural changes. In Germany, Merkel has her hands tied because she's part of a coalition with the opposition, so not much is going to happen there. But I figure if Sarkozy makes some big changes, Germany's going to follow suit, and so will Italy, and that'll be very positive for Europe and for us.
Steve, I want to read something from you, folks. This is a quote from a very smart man. We are in a golden age. Like most such eras, the luster will be more apparent to historians than those who live through it. That's a quote from our friend Steve Forbes. It was in your 90th anniversary edition of the magazine, Steve. But you actually wrote those things 50 years ago, those words 15 years ago. Are they still true today?
I think so, and if we don't lose heart in the war against these fanatics around the world, we will eventually beat them. They don't have an appealing ideology. All they rely on is just bloodshed and going back 1,500 years. We can beat them.
Are we also at risk of not appreciating the economic gains and the economic progress that we've made?
There's always that danger that you start to take for granted something miraculous around you. Just in this country, we saw it in California. You know, booming state grew for decade after decade. They took it for granted. And now that state economically is in a bit of a struggle. For the first time in 150 years, they're not showing much population growth.
Well, and it's largely because businesses have moved out of California because of the regulatory and tax environment there.
They made it more and more difficult. And guess what? Walt Wriston, the great banker, said capital, and by that he meant money and people, go where it's welcome and stay where it's well treated.
Exactly. Well said, Steve. On that note, we're going to have to wind it up. Thank you for being here. Congratulations again on 90 years, and we're looking forward to next time, and have a great Memorial Day holiday.
You too, Jim. Thank you.
Thanks. Steve Forbes, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be too. It'll be another day, actually on Memorial Day. I'll be here live. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.